Mark chapter 4. We're going to begin to read at verse 24. And these are the words of Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Take heed what you hear. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you." So somebody's watching. Somebody's watching to see what you do with the word that you receive. Jesus is watching. The Holy Spirit is paying attention to what you do with the revelation that God gives you. And to you who hear, how much will be given? More will be given to you. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Wow. I think that one of the ways that we experience God in our daily life is through revelation. Now, the Holy Spirit lives inside of everyone who believes, and that's the way God interacts in our life, is through the presence of the Holy Spirit. But most of the time, not in every instance, but most of the time, this interaction that we experience with God comes in the form of revelation. Well, here's what I mean. That is that God, being present in our lives, makes himself known to us by revealing truth to us by his Spirit. Okay? And this revelation takes me deeper in my understanding of the Lord, and it makes me more aware of his presence in my life and his working in my life. I realize that every single one of us walk through times in our life where it seems like we're not hearing the voice of the Spirit, and it seems like when we read, nothing new is coming. And during those times, we're all challenged to live according to the revelation that we've already received. But you know, revelation is so important to us. It's so important to our walk with God, and it's so important to our understanding of the presence of the Lord in our life. Now, does that mean, well, let me ask you this. How many of you have experienced times where you're just not hearing much from God? Okay? Well, I think we all do that. And it's always good in that period of time to kind of go through the checklist, which is, you know, did God tell me to do something that I have not done? Because, you know, God will not build. He builds in a master way. He's a master builder. He builds upon what you're already doing and what you're already obeying in your life. So it is good to ask God, if you're not hearing anything, Lord, did I do the last things that you told me to do, the revelation that you've given me in my life, am I doing that? And if the answer to that is yes, then you may just be walking through one of those periods of time in which you're having to obey the very last thing that God told you. You're having to learn to develop some steel in your life, to be able to trust and believe God in spite of your feelings. We are such a feeling people. God created us as feeling people. But he also uses times in our lives where there may not be a whole lot of feeling to get us to walk according to truth and not feeling. But God knows you need to feel. And so there will come a time when he will bring back this strong awareness of his presence in your life and you really feel it. But we need his presence. We live on his presence in our life. And that presence in my life comes primarily through him revealing things to me, himself to me, truth to me. Now here's my question to every single one of you in this room today. What are you hearing from God right now? I want you to be still a minute and think about that. What's God telling you right now? Zero in on it. Some of you say, I don't want to zero in on it. I'm trying to run from it. I'm trying to get away from it as fast as I can. Well, you know, that's a fruitless not a pursuit, because you're not pursuing anything, but that's a fruitless action. You're not going to be able to run from God. Go back and read about Jonah. Okay? Jonah tried to run from revelation, and we see where it got him. It got him bleached in the belly of a whale. So, don't run from God. Think about what he's telling you. What has he been saying to you? In the book of Mark, and in much of Mark chapter 4, Jesus is talking. He's speaking on the importance of what we hear. And since revelation is such an important part of our discernment of God's presence in our life, then you can understand why he's focusing on your hearing. And according to the passage that we read, what we hear is important, but so is how we hear. So is how we hear. Have you ever had your children, have you ever set your children down and told them something? How many of you ever set your children down and given them a direction or a correction? And you look at them and they're sitting there looking at you, but you can just see it passing through their head and their heart like wind through a barbed wire fence. You wonder if it's even hitting anything. I mean, did anything even register? And you know, it's sad because when you're sitting there in that time, you're understanding as the sower of the word, as the teacher, that consequences are going to come because of their lack of reception. And your desire is to see them avoid those consequences. You would like to see them get to the place to where they operate as wise people. What are wise people? Wise people hear the truth and they apply it in their lives. And God is speaking to us, and he's speaking to you, and he's telling you something to do in this day and hour. Now, I want to talk to you here for just a few minutes about revelation. Stale revelation or fresh revelation? But I want to talk to you a little bit about revelation. I want to give you three truths about revelation that I see out of this passage that we just read. The first truth that I want to give you about revelation is this. Revelation is stewarded. Now, I made that word up. I don't even think that's a word. Okay? But I thought of that word, and I said, I like that word. If it's not a word, it ought to be a word. Okay? So I'm going to use it today for my benefit. If you're an English teacher or someone who doesn't like the butchering of the English language, then you may need to find another church anyway, because this is going to be the wrong place for you. But we are a steward of the revelation that God has given us. Mark 4:24, which we just read, I want to read it to you in God's Word translation. In the God's Word translation of the Bible, it says this. Jesus went on to say, pay attention to what you're listening to. Knowledge will be measured out to you by the measure of attention you give. Then it says this. This is the way knowledge increases. Knowledge increases by the amount of attention you give to the revelation that God's already given you. In verse 25, Jesus summarizes this by saying, for whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. If we are actively obeying the truth that has been revealed to us, then we have been found faithful to be entrusted with more revelation. We've been found faithful. But if we're not obeying the truth, then we're deceiving ourselves about the amount of truth that we actually possess. I've sat in counseling sessions with Pastor Roy and by myself, in which I'm counseling with somebody. And you know, I've told you this before, but pastors are some of the worst people to counsel. Oh, they're terrible to have to counsel. Because they come in with a problem, and they sit down, and when you begin to talk to them, they know everything. Right? They know it all. They wrote a book on that. Start talking to them about forgiveness. I wrote a book. They're not doing it, but they wrote a book about it. Okay? I wrote a book on it. I know that. I know that. I know that. Well, you're not doing that. So how well do you really know that? If it's just rattling around in your head somewhere, but you're choosing not to act on it, then you don't know it. Then there's another response that you're choosing above the word of the Lord. And so the deception in that person is actually, their situation's actually worse than a person that didn't even know the truth. Than a person that you were walking up to for the very first time and talking to them about forgiveness. And they go, really, I've never heard this before. This is such a revolutionary thought process to me. The situation of the person who wrote the book on it but's not doing it is actually worse than the person that has not even heard it. Because they think they possess something and they don't. In other words, they're in self-deception. Some of the worst deception you can be in is self-deception. Or you're lying to yourself and you're believing it. I know that. I know that. I know that. I've known that for a long time. But I'm not doing that. Translation. I don't know that. And to break through that veneer is very difficult, of that deception. Because we always have an excuse as to why we're not being an active steward over the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, excuses have to fall away. Excuses are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. And that's called a stronghold. And God comes into our life to tear down strongholds that argue, things that argue against the knowledge of God. And so, you are a steward over the revelation that God has given you. And the Holy Spirit is watching to see what you do with it. To see if you act on it. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He said, when I caught it, I did what? I acted on it. I acted on it. Immediately when I got it, I acted on it. God is watching us to see if we'll do that. He is determining whether He can take you further in your walk with Christ by what you're doing with what He has already shown you. Some of us are trying to skirt around certain things and continue to grow. You can't wear a skirt and grow. Some of you guys need to get off the skirt off. Your legs don't look good in it anyway. Take the skirt off. We cannot skirt revelation and deceive ourselves into thinking this is not important. I can continue to grow. Everything in our life that God is giving us is proving whether if we're acting on it, it's proving our character is what I'm trying to say. Everything is a character test. The other day, I was sitting there in my house scrolling through the internet. God help us. Scrolling through, and something came up there that I thought, you know, in my flesh, I thought, I'll take a look at that. Just, it wasn't anything bad. Now, somebody's sitting there thinking, what are you looking at on the internet? It wasn't anything bad, but it was bad for me. Okay? So I heard the Holy Spirit say, don't go there. Don't go there. Well, you know what I did? I went there. I went there. Okay, like I said, I wasn't looking at something. You know, I don't need to go into counseling about this particular issues. Others, yeah, but not this one. But after I did that, you know, man, the Holy Spirit came to me and He said, Parky, He said, number one, I love you. I'm trying to protect you. He said, if you're going to continue to be the judge of what's good and bad for you, He said, you're going to be in trouble. Second thing He told me, He said, son, this appears to you to be a small thing. He said, but I'm watching to see how you do with the small things, to see if you can be trusted to be faithful in big things. And man, it took me half a day to get over that repentance. Rhonda kept asking me, what's wrong, honey, what's wrong? And I was just like, I didn't even want to get into it. I was just repenting over this thing. I was like, God. And finally, the Lord said, okay, now it's time to get it off of you. Get it off of you and move forward. The brothers and sisters, we're stewards of what God has said to us. And He's looking to us to see if He can entrust us with the deep things of God. Okay? Second truth about revelation is foundational. Everybody say revelation is foundational. If I'm obeying the truth that's been revealed to me, then I have within me a foundation of truth upon which further revelation can be built. Now, I'm not talking about just being trustworthiness. I'm not just talking about trustworthiness here. I'm talking about God building a foundation, line upon line, precept upon precept. And you know, some things, some truths in our lives are built upon other truths. Okay? Certain revelation is basic to others. Let me go to Mark chapter 8 and read you a few verses about how this is coming to light with Jesus and His disciples. Mark chapter 8, verses 13 through 21 says this, and Jesus left them, and getting into the boat again, He departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, he's not even talking to them about bread here. He's talking to them about spiritual truths. And he says, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, well, it's because we have no bread that he's saying this. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason? Because you have no bread. Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets did you take up? And they said to him, 12. When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. And he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? Now, Jesus was attempting to take his disciples deeper into some revelation. He was wanting to talk to them about the trust that they can have in him to reveal lies and reveal truth to them. But they missed the whole point because they were still struggling with his care for their physical needs. And it made it difficult for him to take them into deeper revelation. Now I'm going to hit home here with myself and with a lot of us here. There are so many of us in the body of Christ who really don't trust God. Especially, and even with basic physical needs. Lord, you said you'd supply all my need. I don't really believe that. Lord, you said if I give, you would give back to me. Really don't believe that. Lord, you said you would take care of my family. You said you would watch over us, that your eye would always be upon us. I don't really believe that. And we're struggling with some very basic revelations. Does God love us? We've got the cross as the example to answer that question. We've got the Holy Spirit within us, which guarantees our future. It said, the Bible says it's a guarantee of heaven and that his presence is with us. But we're still struggling with some very basic revelations. And you know what? When Jesus comes along and tries to talk to you about deeper things, it's hard for him to build on that faulty foundation because it always slides back to, can I really trust him? I don't know. Some of us believe God's going to take us to heaven when we don't believe he can get us a slice of bread tomorrow. Think of how asinine that is. How stupid is that? I'm not calling anyone stupid. But think of how faulty that thinking is. I'm going to heaven. When I die, when I expire, I'm going to heaven. And you know, and then, but I just don't even think. I've got bills. God's going to even help me with. Be honest. And now think about the disconnect in the thinking. You see what I'm saying? So when you're that way, it's very difficult for God to build further revelation on top of what you already have. You know what we need to do? We need to get before God and get the doubt out. Get with somebody who loves you in the body of Christ and say, help me with this. Let's fast and pray till I get this stuff out of me. I want to believe God for who he really is. I don't want to create God in my own image. And worship that God. I want to worship the true God. The God of reality. The God said he would take care of me and supply all my needs. The God who said he would be with me. The God who said he would watch over my life. The God who said he knows how many hairs are on my head. And that's a busy job for me. Because every day the number is decreasing. Somebody's having to really watch that job. I want to meet the person someday that has the job to keep track of the numbers on my hair on my head. It's the Lord. He just knows that kind of stuff. 50,732. And falling. Someday my hair and I are going to be raptured in heaven. Hallelujah. All right. So let's accept God's love so that we can go deeper. And if you need to get with somebody, help you pray through that, let's do it. Third and final thing, revelation is unfolding. Everybody say revelation is unfolding. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, not by heard. We all need fresh revelation from heaven. Some of you are trying to live on stale revelation, or yesterday's word. And it just is stale to you. It's just not working for today. You need a fresh word from God. And while it's important to continue to do the word that God has spoken to you until something new comes, revelation is one of the realities through which we experience the life of God. Revelation produces faith. Faith comes by hearing. And faith produces discernible kingdom activity. Some of you haven't heard a fresh word from God in so long, you're just having a hard time living out the normal everyday Christian life. Well, I'm just not motivated. You know, where did God go? I'm just not motivated. I just don't feel like doing anything right now. It's time to get back in His presence. It's time to pray. It's time to seek God. God's got fresh revelation for you. Amen? He's got fresh revelation for you. So to summarize today, revelation is a stewardship. Let's say it that way. You're a steward over what God has said to you, and He's looking to see if you're acting upon it. Okay? Write it down. Write it down and say, Lord, how do I apply this to my life? Most revelation from God's, that comes along with the word. I mean, you know how to apply it. But write it down. Be a good steward over the revelation you get. Okay? Revelation's foundational. All right? If you've got things in your life you're just struggling to believe, basic things about God and His care, let's get together as the body of Christ. Let's pray over those things. Let's pray together and say, you know what? We're not going to leave this place of prayer. We're not going to leave this agreement until Marty has the breakthrough that he needs. I went through highway because I had basic revelations of God's nature that I just couldn't receive. And I got with a group of people and said, man, we have got, let's get together and work on this and focus on this until these stumbling blocks in my life are removed. All right? And the third thing is that revelation's unfolding. And that means we need to be spending time in the Lord's presence on a daily basis, in the Word of God, seeking God. And some of you struggle so hard to get a word from the Lord. All you got to do is just say, Lord, here's your servant. Speak to me. God is the revelator. I remember when Howard Olson told me that. That was a breakthrough for me. Man, I was struggling so hard to get a word from God. I felt like I was walking behind Him going, hey, I'm here. Can you throw me a crumb? And you know, Howard told me, he said, it's God's the revelator. It's His job to get the word from Him to you in a form that you understand it. It's your job to be open. Amen. And before Him and to be hungry. Lord, here I am. I'm not going to live in worry. I'm not going to live in fear. But Lord, you know I live off of every word. What Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. It comes out of the mouth of God. There is nothing like getting a revelation of God and who He is. Is that the most awesome thing in your life? Doesn't that make you float? I mean, through life you go, wow, God is so good. God is good. Oh, He's alive. I feel Him moving in my life. This is the day that God's speaking to you, to every single one of you. My heart's desire is that you hear it, you receive it, you act on it, so that He can begin to pour out even more of you. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your revelation. You are such a good, powerful, mighty God. Lord, I thank You that You speak to Your children. Jesus said in John 10, I'm the shepherd, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. They know my voice. Because there is an intimacy there. There's a constant communion there. They know my voice. And another, they will not follow. Lord, you know that we need to hear you speaking to us. That's something you created in us. So God, we open ourselves up. And now, if there's anybody in the room that God's been speaking something to you and you've been running from it, we need to repent right now. Remember, God knows you. He created you. He knows what's best for you. It's time to stop being an amateur God in your own life and start letting God be God. Okay? Let Him rule. Let Him reign. Give Him control. And that means that when He speaks to you, you say, "Yes, Lord, I'll do that." Somebody once said the two words you never hear in the same sentence is, "No, Lord." Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So if you've been hearing something and you're running from it, let's just repent right now where you are. Father, forgive us. Lord, you've been speaking something to me and I'm running. I mean, I've outrun Jonah. God, I've got to stop this running and I've got to open my heart up to you. Lord, forgive me. And now whatever He has said to you, embrace it as a dear friend. Embrace it as a friend. And choose to act upon it. Father, we thank You that You are the light, and light dispels darkness. And Lord, we don't want to walk in darkness, because when we walk in darkness, we stumble. Father, I give You praise for all that You're doing in my life, and I thank You for Your love. And Lord, if there's anybody in this room today who's struggling with the basic revelations of God's care for them, Lord, I pray that You will give them insight that they at this point in time have not been able to grasp into Your love and Your care. Give them a vision. Give them a vision. That You did it not just for the world. The world is too big sometimes, Lord, but You did it for us. You did it for me. And I speak over You. You are free. I will agree with You in prayer until You walk free of this thing. And Lord, I honor You. And Lord, I just pray if there's anybody here whose life is just too busy to spend time with God, then Lord, I pray that we will realign our lives, take control over our lives. Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." That means it's your job to take control over your schedule, to ensure that God is a part, so that He can spend time with you and you can hear His voice. Feed us with the bread of heaven. Feed us with bread from heaven. And Lord, we love You. We thank You and we honor You. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 Praise the living God. Well, as always, it's good to be with you. And I just want to tell you that we missed you. We thought about you while we were gone. God's got a good plan for you. A great plan. Is it without any excitement, without any danger? Probably not. It's not worth it if it's not. It's not worthy of Him. But it's a great one. So be open. Let God take you places you've never been before. Okay? Stop trying to live to protect your life. If that's just the goal, Lord, I'm living just to have a safe life. Let go of that. Jesus said, "He who seeks to save his life will want to lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake and the gospel's worth again, he gains life." I mean, we got rocks thrown at us in India. Life. I said, "This is life." You know what I mean? Warfare. This is life. But it was also life when we laid hands on those pastors, when they laid hands on them and saw the tears flowing down their face. When we talked to the pastors from Orissa, the state where they came in and burned down all their churches and even killed some of their church members. And when we talked to them and we saw them ready to go back, we said, "We are going, and our God is powerful, and our God is mighty, and our God is good." I thought that's what real life's all about. Not sitting behind a desk somewhere with a goal being, "Lord, just let this cocoon of protection be around me so that I can go through life with as little problems as possible." These are guys that are the heroes of the faith. They're the guys you're going to read about. Nobody knows their name, but God does. And that's all that matters. And I look at them, and they say, would you pray for us? And they always want Caucasians to pray for them. I don't know why they think that we carry some kind of anointing. You know, Americans. Oh, Americans, pray for me. I'm like, God, y'all need to come to America. You don't understand. This country needs change. You know what I mean? And it's like, but anyway, so I said, only on one condition at the end, if you'll pray for us. God, I want what you have. And God, I want to be on the cutting edge of like you are. Change me, Lord, so that I can fulfill the ministry that you have for me. So